Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dakay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday,
December 10, 2023.
We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give Podcast would like to thank everyone for their support.
We are blessed to have our sponsor for our podcast, Podmetrics. Thank you so much, Podmetrics, for the support, and I urge everyone to support them as well.
And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dakay.
Be on this day of obligation, December 8, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. But before anything else, let us pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love. Following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we find fulfillment, freedom, and the future with you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me first say something about today's feast and today's truth. We must distinguish immediately the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and the truth about the Immaculate Conception. The feast is relatively new. It started to be celebrated in the 7th century. But the truth about the Immaculate Conception is an old, old truth, not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, but implicitly, yes. First, when in the book of Genesis, we read that God said to the serpent, "I will put an enmity between you, serpent, and the woman, and the woman will crush your head." That's the first text. The second is when the angel Gabriel said, "Hail Mary, full of grace." And then, this truth has been taught throughout the ages, so that in 1854, Pope Pius IX declared it on December 8th, a dogma of faith, meaning a truth that we are all obliged to believe and behave accordingly. As a feast, we must remember that Pope Pius the 12th in 1942 declared Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception as the national patron saint, patroness of the Philippines. So there you are, the feast and the truth. Now, the feast, yes, we celebrate it by attending Mass, maybe some procession, etc. But the truth, yes, we believe in it, that Mary, because she was chosen by Jesus himself before he was born. Jesus knew who his mother would be. That's why he prepared Mary to be his mother. And he is a savior of all, so that he could not allow that his mother would be stained by original sin and be under Satan for just a moment. So from the very first moment of her conception, Mary was freed from sin. And that is, therefore, her, what we call, preemptive redemption. She had to sin and be redeemed from sin, or else Jesus would not be the Savior of all. So that's clear. I repeat, as the truth, it is as old as Genesis, but new for us as a celebration. In the Archdiocese of Cebu, we have at least 5 parishes where Mary is the patroness. But then, in our Bible study today, we continue with our reflection on the mysteries of the Holy Rosary, this time on the second joyful mystery, the joyful mystery of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. At once, let me highlight a point that precisely because Mary, as the Mother of God, conceived without sin, was conscious, was aware that she had a baby already when the angel said, the angel declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. So at that moment of the Annunciation, Mary already began to be a mother. She was already bearing Jesus. She was already a Christopher. Christopher bearing in her womb Jesus Christ. Precisely, since we believe that human life begins at conception, so actually the birthday of Mary would be 9 months after December 8th. September 8th. 9. At September 8th. 9 months, therefore, of pregnancy. So I repeat, Mary, when we celebrate her birthday, we should begin to celebrate that on this day, when she was immaculately conceived. No, on December 8th, precisely, she was conceived without sin. But I repeat, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary on September 8th began on December 8th. Just as the Nativity of Jesus, we shall discuss next week, began not on Christmas Day, but on March 25. Anyway, so this is it. Mary, once she conceived the Holy Spirit, we are told, and this is the point I'd like to drive home, soon after the Annunciation, the visitation took place. Why, therefore? Some versions say that Mary soon afterward set out, got herself ready to travel in haste. Why was she so in a hurry? She hurried off to a town 6 miles away from the west of Jerusalem, called Ein Karen. But that's not the point. My point really is, why immediately after the Annunciation comes the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Definitely, it was not a social visit. not just to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, 6 months pregnant. No. Definitely, the St. Luke's narrative of the Annunciation, which ends in chapter 138, immediately, chapter 139 is the visitation. Why, therefore, was she in a hurry? Because as Christopher, as bearing Jesus in her womb, she could not keep it to herself. She had to share Jesus with a family immediately. That was the sense of urgency that Mary was feeling. She must be aware already that Jesus was living already in her womb from the very first moment of her conception of Jesus, which is on March 25. So on March 25, actually, Jesus already started to live in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, I repeat, let us focus our attention on this. Why Mary, immediately after the Annunciation, paid that visit to the family of Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John? The only reason is that she was so eager to share her being Christopher and be an apostle, being sent to a family and to evangelize them. So Mary here is, first of all, Christopher. She is, first of all, an apostle, and she is, first of all, an evangelist. That's how Mary, and why Mary made that visit in a hurry. Remember, although the Bible says she traveled in haste. Wow. In Karim, where Elizabeth, Zechariah, and John live, is 6 miles west of Jerusalem. And from Nazareth to Bethlehem, as we know, is also 6 miles. Now, it would take from Nazareth to Ein Karim 4 or 5 days to travel. But Mary did not mind that. Mary knew that the road from Nazareth to Ein Karim was uphill, difficult and dangerous. And yet, without thinking about that, Mary was very eager to share immediately Jesus. So let us not say anything about what happened when she arrived. We are just focusing our attention on how she left Nazareth in a hurry, with a sense of urgency. You know, this feeling of a sense of urgency, always in a hurry, at haste, is actually characteristic of Mary. Remember at the Annunciation, when the angel told her, "You shall bear a son," Mary very quickly, with that sense of urgency, said, "How can this be done?" So she was very quick at asking a question. But when answered, she was very quick to say, "I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." That's Mary, very quick at asking a question and very quick in answering. Mary was like that. That was his second nature, I would say, being always quick to think and talk and act as quickly as she could. You may say that Mary maybe was talking without thinking. No, that cannot be. Because when the angel Gabriel greeted Mary, we are told in St. Luke that Mary was greatly disturbed by what the angel said, but she pondered on what was said because she wondered what the greeting could mean. So Mary was not talking without thinking. She was always thinking. In fact, we shall learn later on that Mary, when the angels spoke to the shepherds, and Mary was told by the shepherds what the angel had told her them, she treasured all these things in her heart. So whenever Mary would talk and say something, remember, she had always been thinking about it. Sense of urgency. This is the lesson we can learn from this mystery, so that when we meditate on it while praying the rosary, I advise you to pause and think of this detail, that Mary precisely felt that sense of urgency to always share with Jesus in her womb. Sense of urgency. What can we learn from this gospel, which is read in chapter 1, verse 39 to 45? So let us read that gospel first.
Days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
That's the long gospel, including the Magnificat. But for me, what's important to reflect on is her fiat. Mary was already aware that Jesus, when she conceived him, was already alive from the very first moment of his conception. Conception, I repeat, is the beginning of human life. So Mary, when in haste she traveled through a long journey, she already was aware that Jesus in her womb was already very much alive. That's why she wanted to share him immediately with the family. And who therefore made the family of Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John jump with joy? It was not Mary who greeted Elizabeth, the mother of God, but the God made man in her. Jesus himself that has started to live in the womb of Blessed Virgin Mary. And remember, she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. She was therefore living with Jesus in her womb for already 3 months she was alive. That's why I repeat, it's good for us to remember that human life begins at conception. Therefore, we have been teaching this, contraception is wrong, because contraception precisely is preventing a life to begin, whereas abortion is precisely killing a life that has begun. So, the haste that Mary was feeling was precisely motivated by this sense of urgency to share Jesus. Now, the lesson for us, let's say at Mass. At Mass, we stand up to hear the words of Christ in the Gospel. And Jesus said, "He who hears my words and keeps them remains in me and I in him." So we become Christopher then. When we receive Holy Communion, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him." Again, we become Christopher. When therefore the celebrant dismisses us and say, "Go forth, the Mass is ended," we should go forth with that sense of urgency to share Jesus at home and at work. That's the sense of urgency. Immediately we should feel that. And there are many other ways of feeling urgency. The slogan that I'd like to share with you is "Carpe Diem." Seize the day. Seize the day, one day at a time, with urgency. The past is past. The future is not yet. It's the present that you should seize. That sense of urgency. Of course, the other slogan that we have been quoting here is, remember that many who plan to seek God at the 11th hour, they die at 10:30. Sense of urgency. With St. Paul, St. Paul says, "Whenever I fall, I rise. Wherever I stumble, I get up." That sense of urgency to repent, of course, with the help of God's mercy. We should be feeling as in feel this sense of urgency in matters of faith and morals when we are tempted or confronted with a temptation to do this or to do that. Your sense of urgency to be good and to do good should motivate you to talk, to think, and then to talk, and then to act as quickly as you can. This is the lesson I'd like you, just the detail, just the angle and the aspect and the application that is maybe not the usual or traditional, but that we should try this time to reflect on. When Advent comes along, some say, "Advent na sab." Sense of urgency say, "Karon, Advent na sab." Then, when Lent comes along, said, "Na, puasa na sarta, penitensya na sab." When Lent comes along, he said, "Yes." With that sense of urgency, we welcome everything that is religious and spiritual. When it's 6 o'clock in the evening, when the bells, church bells are rung, the sense of urgency should motivate you to stop and pray the Angelus. In my hometown, Balamban, I tell you, because the market is right in front of the church, once the church bell is rung for 6 o'clock, everybody in the market, the sellers and the buyers, stop for a while to say the Angelus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. So let us try to learn this truth about a sense of urgency. There are many instances, but I specifically say in matters of faith and morals, when we are confronted with a matter of faith or a matter of morals, let us be quick, as quickly as we can, to do this and to do that, but always talking with much thinking. So here I stop for your reflection, because today is a day of obligation, and aside from this Bible study online, you have to go to church. You have to make holy the Lord's Day, a day of obligation.
And now, words from our sponsor. If you're a current podcaster or plan to create your own podcast soon, I want to share with you the tool that I use to help me monetize my podcast. It's called Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a platform that allows you to have full control of how you monetize your podcast. You can collab with brands and choose between the many merchants that fit your podcast's audience. It also gives you tips and samples on how to execute your ads properly to maximize your earning potential. Plus, you can track how many of your listeners you were able to convert and know how much you've earned in real time. Cashing out is also a breeze. So if you're a podcaster, make sure you sign up by clicking the link in the description box of this episode and use the referral code 500YOCCebu so you can monetize your podcast too. Thank you, Podmetrics. And now, back to our podcast.
Good AM, Mons. Thank you for reminding us that Mama Mary has the sense of urgency to share the good news of Jesus. We can do the same as followers of Jesus.
Yes, ma'am. The joyful mystery of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary is precisely joyful, because like Mary, if only we feel that sense of urgency, we can also be very, very joyful. Mary was told by the angel, "Rejoice, Mary, because you shall bear a son." And Mary was quick and rejoicing when she said, "Be it done unto me."
Hello, Mons. Happy Feast Day of the Immaculate Conception. And thank you for the reflection on the visitation of Mama Mary to Elizabeth. With your detailed explanation of the behavior of Mary, it can help me grow in virtue, especially looking at spiritual events like Advent with much joy and excitement. Thanks.
That's right. So we should rejoice today, the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, until
September 8th. For 9 months, we should be rejoicing, and that should be the birthday of Mary. Not only December 8th, but also September 8th. Birthday. I repeat, our birthday should begin at the very moment of conception. 9 months after is our nativity. We are born into the world. But actually, I repeat, birthday should be celebrated on the moment of conception. The Blessed Virgin Mary, her conception was December. So she was born on September 8. Jesus was conceived on March 25. He was already born there and delivered on December 25.
Thank you for highlighting Mama Mary's sense of urgency. I noticed that my sense of urgency has been placed in other things like school and work and not on Jesus. It is a good reminder for me to also place that same energy for Jesus.
As I have written in my reflection in our Archdiocese of Cebu, there are the following parishes that have Mary, Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, as the patroness. Oslo, in south of Cebu, was already a parish long before the declaration of the truth as dogma in 1854. The cathedral actually has the patron saint as Saint Vitalis. But it so happened that when Bishop Gregorordo was our bishop at that time, right in front of the cathedral was his residence. His mother was living with her, and she liked very much Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. And she had a statue of Our Lady Immaculate Conception in the convent, in the palacio. Every time Bishop Gerardo would go out to say Mass in the cathedral, the mother would take with her that statue of the Immaculate Conception until it became the patroness of the cathedral. Actually, one of the patron saints of the cathedral. We have the guardian angels, we have San Vitalis, so we have Immaculate Conception. So today, the cathedral celebrates this feast, but originally, I repeat, it was not the patron saint, the patroness of the cathedral, San Vitalis, was.
Good E.M. Mons, why did Mary go directly to Elizabeth and not with her parents? Wouldn't the good news be also applicable to her parents? Just curious, Mons.
Well, let us remember that of the 11 days of obligation before, only three are left. Days of obligation. December 8, December 25, and January 1. So you follow the cycle. December 8 comes first. Then December 25, then January. It goes that way. We are obliged to make that day holy by attending Mass. It's a day of obligation. We should really feel a people lover of Mary, un pueblo amante de María in Spanish. Because aside from the Oslo, from the cathedral, we have the Blessed Virgin Mary, Immaculate Conception, in Colawin, Argao, Cebu, in Madridejos, Bantayan, and Matabang, Toledo City. So, Cebu, even before the Sugbuswak, is already a Marian diocese.
Her question, Mons, why did Mary did not went to her parents? Why she went to Elizabeth instead of her parents?
Why?
Why Mary did not went to her parents? She went to Elizabeth. While bearing this good news, why she directly went to Saint Elizabeth, not to her parents?
I repeat, we are not discussing what actually happened when she arrived at Ayn Karim maybe 5 days after. What I'm concerned right now is what happened before she started to travel. But anyway, remember that Ayn Karim is not near. It's an uphill town in Judea, 6 miles west of Jerusalem. Mary did not mind at all how long the travel would be and how difficult and dangerous it would be. What mattered to her at that time was she had to feel that sense of urgency to share, to bring to the family Jesus whom she was bearing in herself.
Good AM, Mons. Mama Mary had extraordinary grace indeed to be the Mother of God. I pray for extraordinary grace indeed not to waste my time, talent, and treasures as a lowly handmaid of the Lord. Yeah. Mama Mary, please help us in our efforts to be closer to your Son, Jesus.
To affirm that Mary is the Mother of God, you must first affirm your belief that Jesus is God. Because if you cannot, then Mary cannot be Mother of God made man, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. So, today is the conception of Mary herself. The conception of Jesus is March 25, the Annunciation. So, the Nativity of Mary is 9 months after today, which is September 8. And the Nativity of Jesus after March 25 is December 25. So I repeat, we should be celebrating her birthday for at least 9 months from conception to delivery. Sense of urgency. Never be late. Never delay. I am always amazed by that truck. It says, do not delay fresh fruits inside. Fresh food inside, do not delay. Or ambulance. Ambulance actually means do not delay. This is urgent. But always thinking before talking, before acting. So I repeat, this is a great day for the whole Philippines because declared by Pope Pius XII in 1942. Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception is the patroness, the principal patroness of the whole Philippines. So next week, God willing, we shall be reflecting on the third joyful mystery, the Nativity of our Lord. I repeat again, the Nativity begins at March 25 and is celebrated on December 25. We shall explain that again next week. So here I pause for final blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, see you again.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your host, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Jojo. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time.